What's up, guys? It's Claudia Malfatto here with the FL1 Sportscast, Auburn Double Days edition, our first one. We're super pumped. I'm here with my guy, Jack McMullen, the voice on the radio you guys hear all game. What's up, Jack? I'm pumped. Our first podcast.
I'm excited. Let's recap the Double Days year that has been so far. We can look forward a little bit, too, but they're on a pretty long stretch right now, and I'm sure that we'll get into that and a whole lot more.
Yes, but I want to start because I got some weird looks, not just from you, but on the street.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm wearing sweatpants today, but I have to explain. Okay. I got to show you two. They're literally red sweatpants, Auburn Double Days. And yesterday I was coming in from post game after game one of the series against the Tigers. And our lovely GM, Adam Winslow, comes up to me and he goes, Claudia, what are the odds you wear sweatpants tomorrow? And I looked at him. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you don't want to wear sweatpants? I was like, I guess I will if I have to. And this is just the definition of minor league baseball. He goes, basically, we just got too many sweatpants and we need to sell them. And I said, you know what? Anything for the team.
That's so fair.
So today, because I'm the in-game host, so I'm out there on the field. I'm always trying to sell merchandise. And I said, of course, Adam, I'll wear sweatpants. So if you come to the game today, which you should, stop by the merchandise office and grab some sweatpants on sale.
How about that?
But is that not the definition of minor league baseball?
Oh, man, you lead by example. Exactly. That's how minor league baseball works, right? So this is you actually leading by example. So
what can I say?
That's pretty awesome. So you know what? Our GM, he's a go-getter.
He is.
He's a big proponent of Gary Vaynerchuk, who's, Gary V. He's like the classic entrepreneur guy on Twitter. So, you know, Adam really wants to seize the day. And I think that you are the perfect exemplar of seizing the day. How about that?
I think so.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the season so far.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to see the past few games. You guys were on the road in West Virginia. Obviously, we had a good, strong game yesterday. But for some of the people tuning in who haven't been keeping up maybe with the away games, let's just talk about how far this team has come since the beginning of the season.
Well, it's a really different team right now. And a lot of that is because the MLB draft happened just a couple days before the season actually started. So you're waiting for people to actually put pen to paper and, you know, sign a contract. And then usually their first stop in pro ball is either, well, all of them go to Florida. To some extent, they all go to Florida. Some just go for a little mini boot camp, pretty much, like a week. Think about it like military school, but all you're doing is playing baseball.
In the heat. That's what they all complained about. We talked to them that first practice they got to Auburn. Like, how's Florida? And in my head, I'm like, oh, Florida's awesome.
Yeah,
beach,
great.
Whatever. They're like, no, it was terrible. It was so humid. There was no wind. But basically, so that's what they all had to do.
Yeah, so they hate Florida. They love Auburn, New York. So that's great. It's all relative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they come up here from Florida. Either they go through a week of mini camp, pretty much like an extended spring training, or they actually play a couple games in the Gulf Coast League. And that's what the Nationals' first round pick this year, Jackson Rutledge, he did. He threw an outing in the Gulf Coast League. Same thing with Todd Peterson, the seventh round pick at LSU. And they both made their debuts this past, earlier this week against West Virginia. So, you know, they get here. This team is constantly in flux. I mean, we have 37 guys on the active roster right now. So, you know, it's different than normal, you know, Major League Baseball, even the AAA, AA, Single A baseball. A short season A is, you know, where guys go to get right. I mean, we had three rehabbers just 2 days ago, and, you know, we've got a lot of draft guys. So this is a different team than the one that took the field on June 14th, but they're exciting, too, and they're on the up and up.
And let's talk a little bit about, before we get to some of the new guys we have.
Yeah.
Who's just been hot? What's a name that people... I know the names that I recognize because we talk about them every pre and post game.
Right.
But what are some names that people should kind of look out for on this team?
A couple names that you can look out for. A couple young guys and a couple really good Latin guys too. Neomar Gomez started yesterday. Really good. He's like 91 to 94 with the fastball. He throws hard. He's 20 years old. So it's a 20-year-old throwing 91 to 94. He's got a good curveball too. So that guy is definitely the pitcher that you look out for.
Leading the team in strikeouts, I'm
leading
pretty
the
sure.
team in strikeouts. He's got the best ERA. He's top 10 in the New York Penn League in ERA right now. Another guy that just made his Auburn debut earlier this week in West Virginia was the first rounder, Jackson Rutledge, like we mentioned. And this guy throws really hard. If you heard the name Bryce Harper, a lot of scouts were saying that Jackson Rutledge is the best junior college prospect since Bryce Harper in 2010.
I didn't hear that.
So that's really solid, and when you top at 99, and when you're 6'8" tall and 250 pounds, you better be throwing 99.
Yeah,
but he does so. he walks the walk too. He doesn't just talk the talk, and he's really good. So you can make it out there. You can see some of his starts. Player-wise, we have a lot of good players. Jose Sanchez is 18 years old. You know, he's the 12th rated prospect in the Nats system right now. Caldioli Sanflair is another good guy.
On fire every single game. Oh, I feel like if we're going to pick an MVP, you're safe to say Sanflair.
This guy's got an 8-game hit streak right now. Hey, he's a man possessed pretty much every game. He's had an extra base hit, too. The guy can hit bombs. He runs like the wind. Hey, he just looks like your prototypical athlete. If you were going to build a baseball player, it would probably look a little bit like Caldioli, too. So, you know, this double-A team is really fun. They've got a lot of young guys, and they've got some names, too. I mean, the first-rounder Rutledge. I'm not sure if we see the first-rounder from last year, Mason Denneberg, this year. We could. And so, you know, the names are coming through Auburn, and it's pretty cool.
And the only problem for people who are, you know, sticking to the double-A's is we have these guys come in, and they're so exciting to watch. But when they play that well, you know, next thing you know, they're going right up to Hagerstown. And we just had a few guys. We had Troop, who had an amazing game. And we kind of called it, you know, beforehand. And Phil Caulfield. And kind of let's talk about that, just what that dynamic is like, both for the players and the home team, you know, yeah. Auburn, the town of Auburn.
Well, we talked about it with today's producer, Jim Sinacropi, last week when we were here, and just kind of, you know, delving into what we're going to do on this podcast. But you know, the sole purpose of short season A baseball is to learn and to move up. You know, winning a championship's great. It's not these guys' goals. Mm-hmm. Every single one of these players wants to make it to Major League Baseball.
Right.
So when you play well, you're going to move up. And, you know, it's sad for us because we have to say bye to them. But at the end of the day, like, you have to be happy for them because it's exactly what they want.
Oh.
And Alex Troop was a big left-hander. He was down here rehabbing. You know, he missed just about a year of baseball. So he came back and, I mean, he didn't allow a run in 12 innings of work here in Auburn. His last start with the double days, he struck out the first 8 guys he faced. He struck out 9 of the first 10. I'd say that's pretty good. So then he got the option up to the Suns, and then Phil Caulfield, you know, who we love, you know.
Yeah.
That
and
guy
we saw
is,
him, what, he was here last year?
Yeah, he was here last year in part. He, you know, he split the season between here and Hagerstown. Mm-hmm. This year, he's been splitting the season between here and Hagerstown. He was in Hagerstown, and he came back down to Auburn for a little bit, but now he's back up with the Suns. So, you know, this is you're happy for him, and they're just good dudes. All these people are just genuinely good dudes too. So, you know, you want to cheer him on. It's sad to see him leave the double days, but you know what? Have fun in Hagerstown.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely is a stepping stone, too. I feel like people don't know too much about what goes on in minor league baseball, but it's behind the scenes, too, as well as, you know, on the field for the guys. But for us, too, you know, I'm a in-game host, pre-game, post-game reporter, whatever, but if they need help marketing, I'm going to do marketing stuff. If they want me to cut a graphic, I'll do that. If they need me to empty trash can, you know, I'm going to do it. And whatever the team needs, basically, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And the guys kind of feel that sense as well. Like today, we had community events. We went to a kids' camp or we go to the YMCA. And I think it is good for them to realize, you know, it's not just playing baseball. That's not the only reason you're here. You sign a contract to be a part of the team, you know, to be a part of the environment, a part of the town that you're joining. And it's cool to see them kind of realize that. Like today we had Evan Lee and Jordan Bacco, and I could tell on the way there they're like not really knowing what to expect. It's funny, it's almost like in a pregame because not too many of them are used to getting interviewed yet, and so they're like, what are you gonna ask me?
Right.
I'm like, just relax. I'm like, don't worry about it, we're talking about you, we're talking about your game, baseball, like don't worry about it. It was kind of the same thing on the way there. They're like, how many kids are gonna be there, or what is this, what exactly are we doing? I'm like, hey, it's all good. Like, let's just go and find out. And once they got there, they had so much fun. And Evan Lee's so good with the kids. And Bacco came out of his shell. And it was really cool to see that. And on the way home, they were saying, you know, I was like, hey, you guys, thanks so much for doing that. And they said, we actually love doing that. You know, obviously getting up earlier than we had to for a game was a little rough. But, you know, it makes you feel more part of the team. And I think that's super important.
It definitely is super important. And the thing about this is, you know, guys need to learn how to actually be professional baseball players. And that is so much of the battle. And they need to learn how to deal with us, too. You know, when we interview them and they say, what are we going to ask you? You know, part of me just wants to say, you will know the answer to every single question
yeah,
we ask.
It is
it's
about
literally
you, so.
About you.
Yeah.
And it's about baseball, something that you are legitimately a professional at. So
pretty
you,
good.
You know the answer. I'm not asking you, you know, a long division question
right.
when I'm handing you a piece of paper. That's just not what's happening. So these guys are learning how to be professionals, not just professional baseball players and not just in the gym, you know, putting up X amount of reps on bench or deadlift and, mm-hmm. you know, not throwing X amount of bullpens. I mean, these guys are learning how to deal with us in Central New York. So they get to D.C., then they know how to deal with 20 of us instead of one. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we're the batting donut for them. And we're the weight that they honor onto their bat in the on-deck circle. So then it just makes it easier for them to swing once they're actually in the bigs, once they're at the higher levels too. Because, you know, a AAA system, I mean, Auburn, New York, it's gorgeous, it's nice, mm-hmm. And the people are great. It's not a big market by any stretch. Think about AAA. Fresno, California is a bigger market. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is a bigger market. So when you get up to these higher levels, mm-hmm. there's going to be three media members. And then all of a sudden, when you go to AA, there's going to be five. And then when you go to AAA, maybe 10 some days. Mm-hmm. Then when you get to DC, oh man, you got a podium to rock with.
Right, so. Exactly. And I was actually talking with the guys in the car this morning about the fan base too that comes with this level. They were saying, you know, do more fans usually come? And I said, hopefully, you know, as the season goes on, maybe we'll get some more. But that's another thing they were saying. It's almost harder having less fans just because you can literally hear every single thing that a fan says. Man. So if you're not pitching well, they're going to tell you. If you're not hitting, you're going to know. And he said, I'd rather have, you know, 10,000 fans or 5,000 fans, 2,000. He's like, but when there's 10 out there, it's not even feeling like there's not people here supporting me. It's more just,
they're all critics.
You can't mess up.
Everybody's a critic. And the thing is, I mean, you mentioned Evan Lee. That guy was pitching in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at Arkansas. That's SEC baseball. So they have a ton of fans packing into those places.
He was
places.
Saying the house was rocking every game.
Exactly.
And you
even
have
mid-weeks.
All those eyes on you, so every movement is,
It could be a Wednesday night. That's a school night on campus, and yet there are thousands of people there. Auburn, it's a bit of a different story. I mean, last night's attendance was under 650 people. So, you know, that's just kind of what you run into sometimes. Yeah. And 650 can sometimes equal 8 or 9, especially if they're vocal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was actually reading something, I want to say a year ago, and I can't remember the major leaguer, but it was just after his debut, and a reporter asked him, what's the biggest difference between minor league baseball and major league baseball? And he said, you know what? It's that fans are actually on the second level. Nobody's on the second level in these minor league games. I mean, Auburn doesn't even have a second level. If you count the box seats and the general admission as levels 1 and 2, then, I mean, you're really stretching the definition of a second level. So, you know, it's packing the bowls in. If you go to Chavez Ravine in L.A. and see a Dodger game, that place is filled up every single night. Mm-hmm. Of course, they don't show up until the fourth inning in L.A., because why would you? I mean, you got to maximize the daylight, right? But, you know, in Auburn, New York, you're not going to sell out the place every night. Mm-hmm. In AAA Fresno, you're not going to sell out the place every night.
Absolutely. And one thing we got to talk about, because I didn't actually get to see the game when Rocket got ejected for the first time. Let's just talk about that, because I have got to talk with him a few times. Seems like a super cool guy, chill. All the teammates say that they really like him. So what happened in that game? I'm so curious.
Well, it doesn't take away from Rocket's character at all.
Yeah, great guy.
It's interesting, and he's actually serving a 3-game suspension right now. So he's out for the entirety of the Connecticut series. He'll be back managing this weekend in Lowell. But it was interesting. Jake Randa check swung at a curveball that hit him in his back ankle. So, you know, he's a left-handed hitter. Your left foot is your back foot at the back of the batter's box. So that curveball came in and hit him on the back foot. So it came pretty much across his body. He checked his swing. He obviously didn't go. That was apparent upon replay. He didn't go. He comes back and, you know, it hit him. So he's hurting, but the home plate umpire says that Randa swung. And, you know, that kind of grinded Rocket's gears, not just because it was the wrong call, but also because, you know, it hit the guy and he's not being awarded the bag. So, you know, I think he started calm and then just kind of built up. So then once the umpire actually gave the you're out of here thing, I saw the helmet fly down. And, you know, that guy is just, he's an awesome dude. He's an incredibly chill guy. He apologized on the radio pregame show on Finger Lakes One yesterday. He said, you know, I've let down the people of Auburn. And, you know, Rocket, no, you haven't.
We still love you.
You were protecting your guys, so that's fine. Rocket, if you see this, man, we love you. Everybody in Auburn loves you. So
absolutely.
Not something to worry about. He'll be back managing on Saturday. Yes. We'll go from there.
And the guys even said yesterday, because obviously we had a great win against a good team, too. Yeah. And they said, well, after that happened, they kind of just got more energy. These guys got back the night before, what was it, on Sunday. You actually got in at 7 a.m.? Or what day was it?
So the Morgantown time frame was... So we played that series finale against Batavia on Saturday. We leave after that game. We pull into the hotel in Morgantown Sunday at like 5:45 in the morning. So, you know, they sleep all day and do a game at night. But Tuesday was interesting.
Yeah.
Tuesday was a 5-hour and 9-minute game.
Crazy.
Auburn lost 10-9 in 12 innings on a walk-off error. Pretty indicative of how that game went. Auburn walked 16 guys. The Auburn pitching staff walked 16 guys. 16 times 4 is 64. That's 64 balls.
Yeah. Oh,
my
God.
That's a lot. So
longest game they've played.
By far.
By 2 hours.
It smashed it. Yeah. The series finale against West Virginia last week was 2 hours and 10 minutes. So you could have fit 2 games into that easily, and you could have still had another hour to spare. So they did that. You know, our bus departed from Morgantown at like 12:45, got in at 7 a.m. to Auburn. You know, everybody slept from like 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., 1:30 p.m., and played a baseball game yesterday. They showed up at 5:15. It was what's colloquially known in baseball as a show and go. It means you show up and go.
You just do it.
You don't do much. You play catch and then you play baseball. It's like, you know, taking it back to the Sandlot days.
Yeah.
That's what a show and go means. And I know J.D. Raji was saying that to you on the pregame. But, you know, that's how it's referred to in minor league baseball. And it's a thing. And it happens, you know, not often, but it happens when you hit a situation like that. Interesting was that Batavia, after that game on Saturday, you know, their bus broke down.
Oh, really?
Their bus broke down, so they slept in the clubhouse in Auburn because the bus that they charter from actually is in State College, Pennsylvania. So it took until 6 a.m. for another bus to get there. So
everyone's dealing with it.
This is the short season minor league grind. It's not us that are uniquely unfortunate. It's everybody. But you know what? This is the grind, so you can, you know, sign that $330 million contract if you're Bryce Harper. So.
It's almost like broadcasting. They say if you can make it through those early stages, then you know. So these guys are like, okay, I definitely love baseball if I'm dealing with this. But even through all the odds yesterday, they had a really strong game.
Really strong game.
The regular manager wasn't there. They got literally no sleep, and they still came out super strong. Against a good team, too, with their second and right behind the Spinners, who have been having a great season. So what do we expect for today? Same kind of thing, or was that just...
No, it definitely wasn't a fluke. You know, Connecticut's good, and they had a really good starter yesterday. Marco Jimenez was his name, and, you know, he's a short guy. Short meaning 6 foot, but he's short for a professional pitcher, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's short. He's 6 foot, 165 pounds, but the guy was throwing 95 miles an hour, so... You know, they've got good arms. Auburn just got to him offensively, and it was in large part because of one of the two rehabbers here on the roster, Drew Ward, who hit 8 bombs in Double-A earlier this year and then hurt his thumb. So he's rehabbing down here. He hit a 2-run bomb in the bottom of the first and then a 3-run double in the 7th, I want to say, or 6th. So that's, you know, that's how Auburn won that game yesterday, and it was timely hitting and all that stuff. You know, this will be a good game tonight. Nelson Galindez is throwing for Auburn. For Connecticut, got some good players, one of which just put pen to paper for $6.18 million earlier this year. Riley Green is the 5th overall pick. He's 18 years old, fresh out of high school, and he's playing for the Connecticut Tigers.
What a dream, man.
Yeah, right? He went 1-for-2 with 2 walks yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, and the guy can hit. He was seen as the best pure hitter in the class, in the high school class this year. So, you know, if you ever need $1 million, ask Riley Green. Why not?
I'm sure he's just be giving it away.
Yeah. Right? Nice, generous man.
Yes. Before we go, question. Who have you seen kind of develop the most as a player? Because I know we're used to hearing those names that we hear every pregame and postgame.
Yeah.
But who have you seen that we maybe haven't mentioned as much?
That has developed the most?
Yeah, since the beginning of the season.
Jake Randa is really developing right now. And, you know, he was a kid who hit really well in junior college. He had ran under 370 at Northwest Florida State. He was the 13th round pick and he was committed to Mississippi State to play his last 2 years of college baseball. Obviously, he's not there, and he's here with us. Thank goodness he is here with us. He's the son of Joe Rando, who played for about a decade in professional baseball, the majority with the Kansas City Royals. So he's got that baseball blood in him. Mm-hmm. And the guy's power is really the thing that's turning around. You know, we always see him hitting for contact, especially in his early part of the Double Day season. He was hitting for contact, but now, I mean, he's hit some moonshots. He hit another home run in West Virginia earlier this week. So this guy's heating up at the right time, and it's really cool to watch him progress.
Absolutely. Anything else before we head out?
Go Double Days.
Game at
what, 7 o'clock tonight?
7 p.m. first pitch. And make sure to check out our pregame show on FingerLakes1.com. Thanks so much for watching, guys. If you have any suggestions, you can email contact@FingerLakes1.com or shout out our Twitters, CBelfatoTV and Jack_McMullen11.
Can't forget the underscore.
Yeah, don't forget the underscore. And for all the latest headlines and local content, check out FingerLakes1.com and visit the homepage, download our free Android and iPhone app. That's awesome. Make it easy for yourself.
Right.
And subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Definitely do that so you can hear us talk all day long every game. Why wouldn't you want to hear that, right?
Come on. We're fun, right?
All right, guys. Claudio Belfato, Jack McMullen. Catch us next week, Thursday, and catch us tonight for the pregame show.